I'll be reading the first 8 verses. The Elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is going along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
In this service, we'll commission Claudia for mission service. Commission, in German, aussenden. The topic of missions runs through all the Bible, from the first pages to the last. There's this one great theme: God's heart for peoples. God's great passion that to have fellowship with us humans. When you look at the first pages, when God created Adam and Eve to his likeness, in his image, and when we work on this word, it becomes clear that it means to have close fellowship. Adam and Eve were walking through the Garden Eden and together with God and asking many questions and enjoying the fellowship with him. When we look through the Bible, Abraham or the temple in the Old Testament or the book Isaiah or Jonah or the life of Jesus or Peter and Paul and the New Testament church, always there's this great theme that God is redeeming people to him to be connected with him again. And God's commitment to save people. And that a praise to God will be released from all nations. So this is the theme which runs through the whole Bible and is closely linked with the issue of missions. Now, one biblical book, at least one, is even completely dedicated to the question of how can a church send out and support his missionary? And what are the relationships between church and missionary? And the book I have in mind is 3 John, the passage we have just read. Now it starts out with this word, the elder. Most probably it means the elder John, the Apostle John, at his very old age, probably from Ephesus. He's writing this letter to a person named Gaius. When you read the whole letter, we see Gaius was something like a church mission committee chairman. He was one in the church who was really looking after missionaries. And he had such a great passion for this task, so that others in the church became angry about that. when you read at the end of this passage, this letter, you find out the church even considered, at least one of the elders considered, to throw him out of the church because he was so crazy about missions. Now, what does the elder John write to Gaius in order to encourage him, to help him, to assist him? In the center of this passage, there's this one phrase, you find it in verse 6, to send them on their way. And this morning I will only speak about this one phrase, to send them on their way. Originally this letter was written in Greek. There is the Greek word propempo. Now, propempo means literally walking with someone, accompanying someone. Now, at that time, 2,000 years ago, there were no airplanes, there were no cars, so it meant literally to walk with someone. Walk with someone in the heat of the Orient. So it's not like walking from Leipzig to Moscow. Here we have a moderate climate. It's not so hot, but there it's really hot. So to accompany someone means sweat and aching muscles. It means effort and pain. It means time commitment and fellowship. This fellowship, this personal care, carrying the luggage of this person. I don't know, how much luggage will you take with you, Claudia?
That's recommended,
20 kilo. 20 kilo, great, great. I admire you. Some missionaries take some more than that. That's just 20 kilograms. But still, 20 kilograms to carry over a long distance, it's quite an effort, isn't it? So, to walk with someone and to provide protection. At that time, there were robbers on lonely roads, and when a single lady walks there, singing and, you know, taking courage, you know, in her songs, and robbers may be there in the bushes and take her and, you know, take all her possessions away. We read that in scriptures, isn't it? Man walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho and falling under the robbers. But when not just a single lady is walking there, but a few strong fellows from the church, a robber may think twice, right? Is it a good option or not? Do I have to? So, protection is important. In Africa, I've been to various African countries. In Africa, it's a tradition when you have a guest in your home, like I enjoyed the fellowship with the Hofmeisters last night, and in the late evening, you need to go back to your place. In this case, I stayed with the Hofmeisters. But then my African host would accompany me back to the village, to my place, to provide this protection and this fellowship. But then, who will go back with him to his place? No one. He will walk alone. So you see, the host takes the risks on himself to honor the guest. And that's what is meant here. To really encourage someone, to walk together with someone. Now, I do not know whether Gaius could walk with all his friends to the next place. And certainly today, very few can walk with you or accompany you to the airport, at least. You will fly out of Berlin, and it's some hours, you know, to go to be there and say farewell. And that had been the case also in biblical times. So the meaning of this word, send them on their way, the second meaning was to respond to someone's call, to wish to be with someone in your heart, to show interest, to support the cause. In German, you know, there is this figurative meaning, mitgehen, mit jemanden, in your heart. So, and from there, you see, it's only a small step that we can end up with the meaning of this word in the theological dictionary. I looked it up. To equip someone with food, money, traveling equipment, companions, co-workers, prayers, blessings. You see, it's only a small step that this word has become the specialist term for the commissioning of a missionary. And that's what we are celebrating and will do today in the service. To send her out. To commission someone. To send Claudia to her ministry. So expresses this mutual accountability. This partnership. This cooperation. This commitment. This passion. We are with you, Claudia. Commissioning does not mean that later on and after the lunch or so we say farewell to her and she's getting to the car and driving off and then we say finally we are rid of her. In 3 years she will come back, you know. Oh, to have her around it's really, you know, busy. No, that doesn't mean, you know, to send someone on her way. It means we are taking responsibility. Her ministry in Moscow and later on in Vladivostok or another place in the Far East, her ministry is part of our church life here in Leipzig. Like the home Bible study groups and other activities of the church, the only difference is this place is a bit further away than just a few roads down here in town. We take responsibility. That's what means to commission someone. How does this work in practice? What does it mean specifically? Let's now look through the passage from verse 5 to verse 8 again. And I will just highlight this or expound this one word to send someone on her way by the things explained here. We now take the second acetate. It starts with the phrase, "You are faithful." Literally, it means you act according to your faith. Faith does not mean believed truth. I keep something that is probably correct. Information considered reasonable. It's not about theoretical concepts or talking or thinking. Faith means truth lived out in daily life. Put into reality, put into practice. In Greek, the word for hearing and obeying is very similar, has the same roots. There's no hearing of the truth of God, the word of God, and not obeying it. That's impossible. You can't know something just with your brain and not having it in your heart. That's a contradiction. Faith means put trust in God's promises. Walk step by step in faith in your daily life. Understanding the truth of the Word of God, that people are lost in their sins. That they need Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. The only way back to God. And that God is at work in our world today. When we believe that, that must change our life. That must bring us to the point to share Christ with the people around us. this week, with the Hochschultag, is a special opportunity. But there are many opportunities in our daily life, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, among your friends, among your relatives. And we pray about how can I create interest in their hearts? How can I help them to understand this wonderful truth, God's grace in our world? Sharing Christ with people around us. That's our responsibility. That's the reason, number one, why God has sent us into this world. Why he has brought us to live here in Leipzig today. And our world today, among the about 17,000 people groups in the world, there are still 4,000 people groups where not a single believer is known. Single believer in Jesus Christ. 4,000 people groups without any Christian known still today. That really must touch our heart and bring us into action to get involved in God's work in our world today. He's at work. It's not our job. But now let's turn to the next phrase. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Brothers, it means these traveling evangelists, which we call missionaries today. And even though they are strangers, some missionaries sent out by a church have grown up in this church, have been known for many years. Others have come into the church only later. Now, this church is not old enough that missionaries have grown up from childhood and now are sent out as missionaries. I trust in 20 years' time this will be the case or so, but not yet today. But you have adopted a person, Claudia. Maybe there are others in the church have grown up here, have walked with you for a period of time, and now are sent out. So, adopting a missionary is not an alien concept. It's right there in scriptures. Even strangers, missionaries who have been little known, who are new to the church puts trust in them and sends them in the way with all their blessings. Now, these traveling evangelists, they have, after some time, now the third one, come back to the eldest John, probably living in Ephesus at that time. And when they came to their home church, to this church, they explained how the Lord has helped them and what encouragement they have experienced with Gaius. They gave witness there, and it shows that mission is all about communication. Mission lives on this regular contact between Claudia and the church. And you know what's going on in Claudia's life, how she's going on with her Russian studies and her building relationships and how the ministry will develop. And likewise, that information is flowing back from the church here to Claudia. That Claudia gets the church bulletin. That Claudia gets to know how things are going on with you here. And how individuals receive God's help in their life and grow. So it's a mutual relationship, mutual communication via emails, letters of encouragement, phone calls, and many other things. That's how our lives remain connected. I think in my home church in Sinsheim, from time to time during our worship service, then someone with his mobile phone phones the missionaries, and right there in the service they're making an interview with this person, so gaining up to date information. And that's so exciting, you know, to see right there in the service what is happening, especially if there are major events, political events or social events or something unexpected happening in this place. So you right experience what God is doing in this place. So there, today we have many opportunities on how to build on this relationship. And likewise, after some time, Claudia would come back after her first assignment and again share life and build relationships. And so therefore it's important that missionaries are not only staying there for the rest of their life, but are coming back to walk with you and rebuild friendships. Now, these missionaries then spoke in the church about all the help they had received through Gaius. The love, the generosity, the care. Maybe they explained how this missionary has been so tired. Maybe hungry, maybe sick, maybe discouraged when they came to the place. And the loving care of Gaius has really lifted them up. The practical help, the encouragement, the support meant so much to them. And there's a reason, number four now, why John says, you do well when you do that. That's the right thing to do. To do well actually means acting good in a godly manner. So do it with joy and excitement. Don't do it reluctantly, with only half-heartedly. Don't give only into pressure. No. It's our privilege that we are partners of God. That God invites us to be part of His redeeming work in our world today. The life and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus is unique and final. There's nothing to be added to it. But that this truth is known and grows in the life of people nowadays, that's where we get involved in it. So let's continue to do that, to share Christ here in Leipzig and to the ends of the earth. Number five, let's do that in a manner worthy to God. What is worthy of God? It means according to God's character, God's honor, His dignity, His potential. And that means generously, overflowing, abundantly. So let me thank you for all the encouragement to Claudia. Times and again we have talked together and she shared how you here, your friends, her friends, and this church has meant so much to her, for her personal growth and is finding God's direction in her life and her calling into mission service. And you, all of you, have such an enormous part of that. So I want to thank you for all your love and your care and your investment into Claudia. Sixthly, for the sake of the name of Jesus, they have gone out. Missionaries are not going in their own name. They are not sharing a message of their own. They are not setting their own goals and aims. They are ambassadors of Christ. So they go to the place where they are called to by God. like an ambassador of our government, he's appointed to a certain place. And then he's sent a special note to convey to the government of this place, whether they like it or not, whether they will be loved for that, or maybe it's very difficult to convey. Ambassadors mean they are sent by someone, by the government, and they are faithfully conveying this message. So likewise, it's not our own choice. In some places, there will be harsh opposition. Like recently, the events in Turkey, where some Christians, Turkish Christians, and foreigners were killed. And there are many places around the globe where ambassadors for Christ are hated for that. So it won't be fun. It won't be easy. And this is also expounded in the following phrase. They went out, literally it means they went out into battle. So we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. There are forces, spiritual forces, who are keeping people in bondage, are keeping people in darkness, who don't want that they are set free for Christ. So we will do all they can to prevent that. So Claudia will be under attack. She will be resisted. And alone we can't stand in this battle. I'm reminded of Moses, this spiritual giant, when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness of Sinai. At one time, a militant people of Amalek, they attacked them. They wanted to overcome them and to kill them. And Joshua was a young, strong man. He went into battle. And Moses, an old senior, he was dedicated to prayer. And as long as he prayed, Joshua and the young man could hold the attack. But then Moses became tired. He became weak as the battle dragged on for so long. He was exhausted, was almost falling asleep. How good that two other fellows came to his side. And together they prayed and lifted up his arms. So Ur and Aaron, they came to his side to help Moses. Now if this giant, spiritual giant Moses needed brethren to join him, how much more weak? How much more even Claudia, even if she's running long races and admire her for her energy. We need this spiritual support. We need this prayer support. And the bottleneck in missions today is prayer. See, especially in our modern speed-driven times, that people have so many things to do, that only little time is left for prayer. And I see that this is the challenge number one in our day, time today. That people are coming together to pray. Pray for our city, pray for ourselves, pray for our church, pray for our missionaries, pray for Claudia. In our ministry in Russia, there will be times of difficulties. There will be times of suffering, of pain, of injuries, of wounds. To follow Christ has a high price. It's not an easy thing. There will be defeats. There is no discipleship of Jesus Christ without this high price. It takes a high toll for you to live here with Christ and for Claudia in her ministry. So let's stand together. Let's stand for each other. Let's pray for each other. There are difficult decisions to make. Where to set priorities? Where to focus? Let's pray for this. Let's pray that God will give her wisdom to do the right thing. That God will give her direction what to do in the midst of all these opportunities. So let's pray. It's the most important thing we can do. Eighthly, these missionaries received help only from believers, not from unbelievers. That's clear. Who can pray if not we? Can unbelievers pray? Can unbelievers encourage a missionary? Why should they do? They have no understanding of that. Who could support Claudia if not believers? Who will invest money to bring this ministry about if not we? So let's see that this is our privilege to be God's co-workers. Let's not look at others who can pray with more beautiful words or have more information or better gifted or have more money or something. No, let's look at that, what God has entrusted us, and invest that into the kingdom of God. In the Greek, actually, it says we should support them is emphasized. We, not someone else. We, it's our task. It's our responsibility. And ninthly, we ought to support them. Literally, it means we owe them the support. We are indebted. We are obligated. It's a must. It's not something very special we do. It's that what God expects from us. It's a normal thing of Him. It's the character and the calling of us as church. Let me take an example. Now, recently, there's more discussion on paternity testing. Men are not sure whether they are the father of a child, so they ask for the truth, for proof that they are really having to pay for this child. They want to have the fatherhood proven. It is genetic testing. Now, if we say we're children of God, that means we have the genes of God in us, isn't it? The character of God is reflected in our life. So, how is this seen in our world today? God has called us to be a shopping window in our world. Like here in the inner city of Leipzig, where there are beautiful shopping windows and people walk by and, you know, are attracted and think, oh, this is something I need to buy and this is something very attractive. Now, in a similar way, our lives are called to be a shopping window of God's grace. And people in our world today who now may be still sleeping in their home or are somewhere in the green enjoying the beautiful nature, who don't attend a church service, who don't look into scripture, have no idea about God, and how they can see God's reality in your life. And attracted to that. I want to have that too. That's the reason why God has called us into our life. Just one scripture reference for that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Where Peter says, you are the chosen people, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim and declare the praises of Him. What is the reason why God has called us to be His chosen people? To declare His praises to the people around us. Tenthly, we work together. Now in the Greek there it says synergos. The word synergy is derived from that. Synergy means several parts act together and something special comes out of it. Now, my wife is a pharmacist. She knows all about drugs and this stuff. And she knows when you take some weak medicine, each of that is weak. But when you take that in conjunction, something very unexpected can happen. So that's what we mean with synergy. Oh, let me give you another example. I have grown up in the city of Frankfurt. In the 50s, after the war, the city was still destroyed, and at that time there were a lot of horse carts who was bringing, for example, from the brewery, the beer and the goods then through the streets. I've read in a book that a cart with one horse, pulled by one horse, can be up to 4 tons of weight. Now, these carts I have known from my childhood were pulled by two horses. Now the question, what can be the maximum weight of a cart pulled by two horses? One horse, four tons, two horses?
Eight.
Well, will they complement each other in this optimal way? Maybe seven, huh? But in this book I read that a cart pulled by two horses can have a weight be up to 22 tons. Much, much more than the sum of that. How is this possible? It's impossible, isn't it? I've read in this book that the critical moment is when one horse, you know, putting all his strength into this pulling gear, when he has straightened his muscles, then he has to move his legs. And then he can't put up any effort anymore. Then he becomes weak. And just in this moment, the other horse is pulling with his maximal force. So these two horses pull one after the other, not simultaneously. And by that, the force combined is much, much stronger than the addition of both. I think there's spiritual truth in it. When someone is weak, another one is strong. They complement each other. They complement each other with their gifting. And that's why we need the church. That's why we need house fellowship groups. And one can care for the other. We complement each other. That we serve each other. And likewise, we can serve those missionaries sent out or supported through us. In the back, Claudia has put up a table with a few items. You really have to see that. Great things there to watch. And on this table, there's also a small leaflet. 101 creative ideas how to support a missionary. Or in German, 100 kreative Ideen, Weltmission zu fördern. Now, actually, it's more than 101. It's probably 160 or so ideas how you can effectively support your missionary here from Leipzig and have a great impact to the life and ministry of your missionary. That refers to Claudia. It also refers to any other of the missionaries you personally know. Each one of them needs this support and help. So by this, we become co-workers of the truth. And truth means actually our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are just junior partners of that. I come to the close, verse number 12. Show hospitality. Actually, the Greek means take someone under the arms and pull him out. Like a person falling into, which has fallen into a pond, and now people try to get them out of the pond. Now, if someone grabs him at his arm, another one grabs him at his hair, another one at the leg or so, that won't work, isn't it? It must be a coordinated effort, working together. And many people are needed for that. It's teamwork. It's this coordinated action. And that's what mission is all about. Let me close with an example. Yesterday when I was driving from Sinsheim to Leipzig, I had time, you know, to listen to the soccer games and the results, and some unexpected result in that. And a soccer team, they don't live on one special star, a special football star. There are 11 people on the field, and each of these people have to live up to their best in order to win a game, isn't it? And beside that, there is the reserve Auswechselspieler. And if they're put into the team at the right spot, maybe 10 minutes before the end of the game, they will change the tide. And there are the trainers and the physicians and the masseur and the directors and all the fans there in the stadium. They make a difference. So only together they can win a game. And with mission, it's similar. And with church, it's similar. It's not a one-man show. It's a team effort. So let's stand together and work together. And that's why God has put us together. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have invested into our lives, that you have made us into your children. Lord, that there is salvation, that there's life in you. And that you have even invited us to become your co-workers here in our church and in the ministry of Claudia. So Lord, show us where there is our place, our role. Lord, where you want us, where do you want me to be your co-worker and to contribute in a special way, that you may use our gifts and our resources to bless many people around us, many people in need. Lord, show us where you want us to be involved, to the praises of your name. Amen.